Welcome to Deserby is at the Wheel, a brand new football pod. It's just me and Liam is here.
Yes, yes, come on. Oh, hello, Carl. It's so good to be back. How are you doing?
Guns and Devils team back together for one more rodeo.
Rogues Gallery is back. And our villain this week is Anne Postecoglou. Oh, God.
There's a special reason why we're calling it Deserby is at the Wheel, because our third co-host, who's not with us today, Nathan, is absolutely obsessed with the man.
Yeah, it's a bit concerning, to be honest.
It really is. He's probably going to edit all this out. So.
Yeah. Oh, actually, Carl, I didn't tell you this before we started the podcast, but Nathan, I did actually see Nathan recently, and he actually delivered me a haiku.
All right, yeah.
A haiku about Deserby. Would you like to hear it?
Go on, man.
All right. Ocean spray tactics. Goals like waves crash. Fans erupt. Deserby's magic burns.
I mean, that's amazing.
That is, honestly, I have chills.
He just can't seem to accept the football revolution, can he, Nathan?
No, no.
Just don't understand.
Yeah, for a socialist, he's very rooted in his ways.
He really is. I almost want to say to take over at Man United just for the banter.
You know what I mean? Well, they can do fucking worse than.
Or Swansea.
Oh please, that would be so funny. I'm actually going to. I don't know if I told you. I'm going to visit Nathan.
Because he sort of asked me if I could come, but yeah, I just haven't got the finances for a trip to Swansea at the moment.
Yeah, you're too busy wanking.
I'm that as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've got my big poster of Deserby to yank over. You know.
That Tony Stark beard does something for you, doesn't it?
It does. Can't deny.
Oh Christ. Oh man. But my boys. We're here to talk about football, right?
Yeah, we've been recording for just over 2 minutes and we're already on to wanking.
It's a regular Saturday night for me. Oh God!
But yeah, onto football. A big win for your team, Arsenal. You're ecstatic over that because I think everybody seemed to fancy Liverpool before the match started.
Yeah, it was. It was weird. I mean, I was in a chat with Reese like a few days before the game, and he said there's no chance in hell that Arsenal could beat Liverpool. So, suck it, Reese. I was a little bit nervous for the game because we played against them well in the FA Cup, but it's the FA Cup, you know. It's weird because we absolutely battered them in the first half, and you know we scored one goal and I was like, okay, cool, this is great, and then we score an own goal right at the end of the first half, and you're like, this is just so Arsenal.
I know, yeah. I mean, you should have been like 3 or 4 up, really. In that
yeah. Place.
Yeah. You know, you just couldn't handle your pace and your counter attacks. And it was for all the world looking like an easy Arsenal win. But then, as you say, when you made that own goal, balls up, I thought, oh, here we go. Liverpool are going to. Go in, you know, being well motivated now. Probably can't believe their luck. It's 1-1, and they'll probably come out in really high tempo and beat you in the second half. But no, that didn't happen.
Yeah, it was weird because I mean, I think everyone kind of knows that now with Liverpool that they're kind of slow starters, but in the second half is when they really shine. And for about 10 minutes for the start of the first half, they were putting pressure on us, but they weren't really getting through. They were taking a lot of shots from long range, very good shots, but it was weird. I mean, I was very anxious because I'm very anxious whenever it comes to a big game.
I think we all are when our team's playing
a
crucial game. We all get a bit anxious and nervous because it's sport. You just never know, do you?
No, exactly. Yeah. So it was, yeah, I was very anxious, but I was, you know, then we score a second through an absolutely hilarious mix-up.
Such a mix-up, wasn't it? So funny.
I think it was actually worse than the first one.
Returning the favour of the young girl.
Yeah, literally. I mean, I think we do have to give a bit of credit to Martinelli because I think he actually pushes Van Dijk into Alisson.
He definitely sort of pushed him into the air because of his pace and presence. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, he worked very hard all game and I think he deserved his goal. And then right to the end, Leandro Trossard, with a lovely bit of skill to get past Harvey Elliott, just spanked it through Alisson's legs, although a bit of a deflection.
I thought to myself, oh, he's not going to score from there, and then he did, and I was like, oh, okay. On the replays, he wasn't quite as wide as I thought he'd taken it a bit wider in real time, but I could see on the replays, the angle wasn't as bad as I first thought.
Yeah, and it just come off slightly off Van Dijk, which might have deceptive Alisson a little bit. But it was a bit of an off day for those two. But I think a lot of that was also down to Arsenal's hard work. I mean, I think we thoroughly, thoroughly deserved to win that game.
I definitely think Chelsea did you a favour when they bought Murdoch because he's crap and you got Trossard for a lot cheaper.
yeah, it's weird. I mean, it's so weird. We're like, I was literally talking to someone about Modric earlier today, and it's so weird to imagine another reality where we end up signing him. Like, I don't know what would happen because I mean, he's got the pace. He's very strong. He's very fast.
Just got no confidence at the moment, has he?
That's
the trouble. It's a severe lack of confidence.
Because he's technically all right as well. Like, he's, you know, he's got talent besides the raw materials. So it's just, yeah, you think, oh, if you can put them together. I don't know, maybe under Arteta, a bit more of like a kind of settled environment. Maybe well, it would have done it good.
I've said it before, that, you know, the fact that they've made so many, you know, they brought so many players in and it's not, you know, it's not very settled. It just doesn't help when you got that many players and, you know, the owners are bringing that many new players in. You need things to be relatively settled. I mean, most clubs will try and buy from 3-5 players to change things, not sort of redo the whole bloody team near and all.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading The Athletic before we started recording and they were saying that there's now quite a few members who've regretted signing such long contracts with Chelsea. And I mean,
that was just mad, wasn't it? That was a way of trying to be clever to get around FFP. But when they've decided they want to move them on, they've really struggled. And Sandy sort of helped them out quite a bit the other summer, didn't they?
Suspiciously so.
And I saw something on Talk Sport or something where a lot of financial experts can't see them meeting, you know, FFP standards with, you know, next checks and whatnot. So they could find themselves in the spot of bother if they're not too careful.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I think I sent you there's a report that apparently one of the reasons why they don't really want to sign Pochettino is because of, you know, FFP or I can't even remember what the new term is called, but I don't know how true that is, but it must be some kind of consideration because, I mean, they've spent so much on...
They do get hefty payouts, don't they?
Yeah.
Might
I mean,
be a similar situation at United because, I mean, if they had to fire Ten Hag, he'd probably get a fair payout as well. And we're struggling to meet FFP at the moment as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think all teams are kind of a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at how anticlimactic the transfer window was, I mean, usually on transfer window deadline day, all sorts of deals go through, but it was a relatively low spend window and little spend on deadline day because I think, yeah, everybody's watching their arses with financial fair play at the moment.
Yeah, Fabrizio Romano probably had all his phones laid out on the table, and he's like, okay, now what? But, it's funny, yeah. What on earth is going on?
But yeah, back to your game. We're going off track a bit now.
Yes.
But have you think Liverpool lacked a bit of a cutting edge without Salah? Going forward, that could be a problem for them because I don't think we've been on since Klopp announced he was leaving at the end of the season. And I know Saudi clubs have been caught in around Salah for a bit and he's refused to sign so far. But something tells me with Klopp going, that might be him jumping ship as well.
Well, they have a few as well because I think Trent, VVD and Salah all have 2 years left on their contract. You know, and I mean, Trent's still very young, so you'd imagine, you know, if they get him signed down to 5 years, you know, that's probably fine. VVD, I think he's, was he 31, 33?
I'm not too sure how old he is. But
same with Salah, but they're around about that age, though, aren't they?
He's never really recaptured that form from their title-winning season, has he?
It's 32 years old.
I'm not saying it's been poor, and perhaps that injury didn't help when Pickford annihilated him. But, I mean, you start saying that. I'm not saying he's a bad player all of a sudden, but he's never quite hit the heights as he's the standard he played in their title winnings.
Yeah, I think he's been good this season, but it is weird. I mean, he's, you know, he's recovering from this big injury and he's also getting older. So it must be very hard to, I mean, it was very impressive that he's even at this level he's at the moment. Mm. But actually, I wanted to briefly talk, before we kind of get onto Liverpool, I wanted to kind of briefly actually praise two former Chelsea players who are playing for us. And I think they're quite maligned, but I thought Jorginho and Havertz were absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's probably the best game I've seen Jorginho have for you since he made the switch to Arsenal, actually. I think he hasn't played, I don't know if he's been injured, he didn't play a massive amount of games. I thought he'd been a bit underwhelming, but no, he seemed to be a good choice by Arteta to play him, and he played really well.
Yeah, it's weird because I think he's kind of had this reputation of kind of always passing sideways and just, you know, he's just there to kind of take the sting out of the game. But I thought he was fantastic. He was so progressive. He was in the right place for the right time. He was just, for some reason, him and Rice just worked really well together. And I think maybe they should be, maybe that's the midfield from now on. You know, I was really impressed with him. I did not expect, I'd never seen him at that level, even at Chelsea, to be honest.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see what Arteta thinks, won't we, on that one.
Yeah.
He's no spring chicken, is he, Jorginho, I don't think.
Yeah, he's pretty old as well.
He must be 30-something.
I think he's out of contract this summer, but I think he's an option for another year, I think. So I'd be very surprised if you don't take up, but you never know. Well, what did you think of Kai Havertz's performance? Because obviously he didn't score, but I felt like he gave Konate and Van Dijk a hell of a rough time.
Yeah, he was causing problems and putting himself about a bit. I mean, it's not always about scoring, as long as you're, you know, contributing to the game in some form or another. I think we get a bit too sidetracked by goals and assists and these other stats sometimes, just because you're not scoring or assisting doesn't necessarily mean you're not doing a decent job, depending what your role is. Obviously, if you're a striker, it's no good, but
yeah,
he isn't really a striker, is he?
Well, he's a weird one because someone said this to me the other day, but he's never seen a footballer so bad but also so good at certain things. Like, he's such an unusual skill set that, like, he's terrible at shooting, he's brilliant defensively, he's not a really great passer, but he's really good at making runs, like, behind the back line and just using his body.
He's still really young as well.
I'm
always surprised when I hear how old he is. He seems to have been around forever.
He's 24 now, I think, isn't he?
something like that.
Yeah, which is, I mean, you know, as younger than Eddie Nketiah.
That's what always throws me when they say he's younger than them.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I mean, there's a chance he can improve in future. Maybe it's just kind of getting confidence and playing so often, which he has been, to be fair. But I have to be honest, I really like him. I think for a while I was kind of just forcing myself to like him, but I appreciate the effort that he puts in.
Do you think Jesus will still be there next season? Because I think his contributions to matches are dwindling. He does seem to be injured quite a lot as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's a strange one because yeah, his injury record is terrible. It's nearly as bad as Thomas Partey's, who's another one who's just barely plays these days. Although it's a little bit better, but I mean he's still like a very big influence in games. I think he might be like second or third top goal scorer in the Champions League this season. He's been really good in the Champions League for some reason. Mind you, so is Hoyland. But yeah, it's a weird one. I mean, I think Eddie Nketiah is probably going to go in the summer. So I think he might stay and we probably will try and get another striker. Whether that be Osimhen or Tony or Martial. I guess who knows.
You might struggle with Tony because I think they want a lot of money. I'll just apologise now if you can hear any sort of banging. That's the next door has decided to start doing something or another. Typical. And you're trying to record a podcast.
You should go and join in. And I think I'm tempted, bloody hell. But yeah, great result for Arsenal. And I think we're back in the race.
I would say so. It was quite strange because you were top at Christmas and then you went on your bad run. And the next thing you know, I mean, you only lost a couple of games, but next thing you know, you're down to fourth all of a sudden. And Liverpool seem to have overtaken you by a mile. And now you've managed to close the gap again. It looks like it could be possibly a three-horse race because City are looking like they're going to put another one of their runs together. After Christmas, they seem to sort of like decide, okay, we're going to stop pissing about now and just beat everybody.
Yeah, I mean, they have a game in hand on Liverpool and they're 2 points behind. So I think it is theirs to lose to a certain extent, which is sad. I know you probably wouldn't agree with me, but I'd happily have Liverpool win over City or anyone else besides Spurs, obviously.
I'd rather just have Arsenal win because I don't like either Liverpool or Grass City. But
yeah, I mean, trust me, I'd much rather.
I don't want City win. I don't want Liverpool to win their 20th title, and I don't want Liverpool. Winning their 20th title to equal us, and I don't want City to win four titles in a row because that'll make a new record for consecutive titles once. So
yeah,
it's a bit of a rock in the hard place.
Yeah, and that's now you're rooting for your old rivals. What the fuck's happening?
I know. For the lesser of three evils.
Yeah, literally. It is weird how kind of I feel like United and Arsenal fans are almost a bit kind of closer now, just because I guess we have a history. I don't know.
Yeah, because we won once, the team's dominating the league, and then we both went shit for a bit. So we sort of both know what it's like.
Yeah, and I think it's nice to kind of see the rise to a certain extent. It was nice to see your rise last season, at least. And I think you probably will rise again at some point. I don't know if it's going to be under Eric, but yeah. What's the best question? Do you think Eric is the man with GM?
I still do. I think, you know, he has had a lot of injuries. He has, you know, he's had to change your team a lot. You know, he hasn't had a consistent team to put out very often this season because, you know, someone comes back and then someone else gets injured, or someone looks like they're in a good vein of form and they get a knock or they're ill and they have to miss a couple of matches. So, yeah, he has been quite unlucky with injuries and absences. So hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, it's a weird one because you're 8 points behind Villa, who are in fourth. Like, it's not impossible to catch up with the amount of games to go, but...
I mean, if we can beat them when we play them, then definitely. I mean, if we lose to them, then it's probably all over, I would say. That's going to be an interesting match, because although we've had a couple of wins under our belts just recently, I still don't trust F1. It feels like we can turn up and lose to anybody still, really.
Yeah, but then I think you also are starting to turn a corner slightly. Oh yeah, I didn't realize you're playing Villa this weekend. Actually, wow.
It's definitely helped having Martinez and Casemiro back. Martinez, although he's injured again, so that could be a big miss. He is at the spine of the team. He just makes such a difference at the back end, sort of. You know, going forward too. So,
yeah, I think Martinez is a fantastic player. I do think his style has kind of, I don't think it does kind of lend itself to injury when you go in so aggressively into tackles. Mm. I remember Jack Wilshere was very similar. You know, I mean, there's a lot of issues with him, obviously, with injuries. I don't think that was the sole contributor, but he was very rash with going into tackles. But back to the United, you got some revenge on West Ham. That must have felt quite nice.
Yeah, it was, to be fair. And you know, it was a fair. You know, West Ham did have the chances, but compared to how things have been going, and especially at the Wolves game, it was, you know, a fairly routine win. And hopefully, if we can keep a reasonably consistent side going forward, that might help as well. Manu, Casemiro, I thought were all excellent in midfield. Garnacho on the right wing, that's proven to be a master stroke. He seems to be really thriving there. Rashford's performances are starting to improve a little bit. Hoyland seems to have started scoring, which is good to see, because he hasn't scored for quite a while, but he's got 4 and 4. He's double figures apparently for all competitions, which isn't bad. You know, which isn't bad going for, you know, someone we bought 20 who hasn't played that many games.
Yeah, I mean, he's still so young.
What do you think of Hoyland? I mean, I thought his goal against West Ham was excellent.
I like him. I think I said to you when, because I've seen a bit of him play at Atalanta, not a lot. I said to you that he's going to be really exciting, but he's still so bloody young. Like, it's so hard when you're that young coming into a team which is, you know, I think the expectations in that team are probably bigger than almost any other in the country. So it is difficult, especially in a position where you've had trouble recently. So I really like him. I think his energy is fantastic. He's got a taste for goals. He's big, he's fast, he's strong. I like him. I hope he kind of kicks on from here.
He seems quite a likable lad as well, and I just love this sort of reaction when he broke his duck against Villa in that game.
Yes. Yeah, that was really sweet. Yeah, because I'm looking at my top goal scorer chance now, and like, you don't have many scorers. To be honest, it's kind of similar to us, really. I mean, I think it says a lot that McTominay is your highest scorer in the league, at least. Which, you know, I mean, fair play to him, in fairness. But yeah, it's weird how the season's kind of gone, but it's coming together. Yeah.
Well, also Hoyland's got 2 assists as well, so it shows he's contributing in other ways, just scoring goals. So, you know, I think the team and him are starting to adapt together, if that makes any sense. You know, he's learning to adapt to the team, and the team are starting to learn to adapt to him, I think.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. A bit of a random question, by the way. Who do you think has the most assists in the league?
This season?
Yeah, this season.
Oh, gosh. With Harold Kane not there anymore. I don't know. I couldn't fathom a guess. It's probably going to be someone I wouldn't expect anyway.
Yeah, it's Ollie Watkins, which I never...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I never would have seen that coming.
I nearly said John McGinn, but...
I love John McGinn. But yeah, I like Ollie Watkins, but I never would have expected... I mean, he's 10 assists. That's nothing to be sniffed at.
That's good going, that is.
Especially for a striker. My God, fair play. But yeah, I mean, I want to wax lyrical about Mainoo a bit. What a player he is, by the way.
Oh yeah, we all knew he was looking something special in pre-season, but then he got his injury and you know, it took him a while to recover and get back in the team. But yeah, now he's back in the team. It's certainly been a big help and a big boost to how we want to play.
Yeah, because I remember talking to you, Nathan, I think, about him. I think we kind of bandied his name around, saying like, oh, why don't you guys play more youth players and stuff like that? And you know, you kind of think, you know, give him a chance or something. But I never expected him to be this good. Like, my word. Like, he might be one of the best young players in the country.
Well, we'll have to see when we play, you know, a more top team, maybe. That's when you really find out how good these young players are. But yeah, so far he has really impressed. And that late winner he scored against Wolves, I mean, fair play.
Yeah, that was an incredible goal. My God, what a game as well. Are you watching? Are you back watching Man United now?
Bits and bobs. I mean, I couldn't watch the West Ham game because that was on when I was working anyway.
Yeah, that's fair. I tried to watch a few, but yeah, it's good to see you guys kind of doing better.
The annoying thing, the annoying thing is actually getting beat. If we were just getting beat, it's not too bad, but the fact we seem to get a goal or two goals in ahead and then it slipped by. I mean, if you're going to be crap, just be crap. Stop giving us... It's a false hope that kills you.
Yeah. this weirdly kind of feels like early Arteta for us. Like, we would have moments where we're really promising and then we'll just concede, like, three goals in, like, the last 10 minutes and we're like, oh, fuck this.
But it's going to be... we haven't spoke or padded since... in the Ineos deal, that new CEO that we sort of poached from Man City. It does look like sort of Jim Ratcliffe and Dave Beresford are sort of putting, you know, pieces together and working hard to get the right people in place to change things going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exciting for you. It's scary for me.
Well, because you know, hoping it all works out. But you know, there has been a problem with recruitment, with overspending. I don't think the scouting doesn't seem to have been there. So hopefully, with Ineos running the football side of things, they'll shake things up and get things working a lot better. Because really, they should have. I don't know if it was a panic because Erik ten Hag was pushing for him, but they really should have walked away from the Anthony deal at the price he had to pay for him. Not that, you know, I've got nothing against him. I don't hate him as much as everyone else seems to, but we definitely overpaid for him. I can't deny that. And we've overpaid for a lot of players. We were a bit better this season. You know, we didn't pay. You know, we didn't pay quite as much as Atlanta wanted for Hoyland. Or, you know, we came to a compromise with Chelsea because they wanted, I think, 65, and we managed to get it down to 55 plus add-ons, or 55 including add-ons. So, you know, we did slightly better this season, thankfully. Because you know, if you're coming along and you're Man United and they think you're desperate, they know you're gonna represent for other pain, and then they are gonna slap an extra 10 million on. But we should be more, hopefully now we'll be a bit more like City have been, where, you know, when they think a player's the FIFA a player's getting too silly, they'll just walk away from it, won't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's loads of examples of, you know, I mean, City, you know, they wanted Alexis Sanchez and his wage demands were just absolutely, you know, exorbitant. And then obviously he went to United.
They wanted that defender Chelsea got, didn't they? I'm blanking his name.
I can't remember his name either. But I mean, also Jorginho, you know, City wanted Jorginho, which people forget. And obviously they paid like 60 million or something for him. They paid a lot of money for Jorginho, which I forget, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, hopefully it is a sign of good things kind of coming together for you.
We can hope, but we'll probably get thrashed by Villa and not be in a bad mood again by next weekend.
And then we'll pod again right at the end of the season. I don't know. I mean, are you looking forward to, you know, United being in the Championship or? Sorry, I'm in Champions League. Sorry. that's awkward. Oh God. Anyway.
Well, talking about teams that could be in a Championship. Well, what do we make of Chelsea? Because they're no better off under Pochettino than they were under Lampard and Potter. They just can't seem to get going. I mean, and if it wasn't for Cole Palmer, I think they'd be even worse trouble than they are. Because he seems to be the only one consistently scoring at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because, I mean, they've spent so much money on signings. And, I mean, I think they might have overpaid him. Paid for him a little bit, but he's
definitely have. I mean, yeah, Casido's never 100 million player, and he's showing that. And so Fernandez, decent player, but he was never worth the amount they paid for him.
I mean, I do wonder, like, because I think they have this idea of, you know, Caicedo, Enzo, and then Lavia all in midfield together. I mean, we still forget that those three haven't played together, but I don't know how much better that midfield is going to be than what they have already with Gallagher. I mean, because Gallagher's been one of their best players, really.
I know, and they were trying to sell him to Spurs, weren't they, I think? Because they're desperate to recoup money, I guess, and Spurs bolts at the asking price.
Yeah. Well, because of this whole PPL rules, I think that's what they're called, academy players count as pure profit.
Yes, they do. But still, you know, he's been... I think he's been one of their better players. I think it would have been madness to sell him personally.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I'll take him at Arsenal. I think he'll be good for pretty much most teams, you know. It's odd. I mean, there's rumours that Enzo wants to leave. And, I mean, he's a good player, you know. I don't know.
Diego Silva's wife isn't happy.
Oh, God. I mean, how do you think you fix Chelsea? Is it just... Do you think you just get, like, Ancelotti in and then just...
I'm not even sure the greatest manager of all time, Giuseppe, could change things, to be honest.
De Zerbi is very good, though.
I'm not saying. I mean, as I said, he's the greatest manager of all time. Clearly, but
yeah,
I'm not even sure he could turn it around.
If he can't do it, no one can. No, not the spirit of Bobby Robson. not Gatti. Not Jack Wilshere. I don't know. Yeah, it's concerning. Well, you know, I say it's concerning times. I really don't care. I'm loving.
Oh, mate, it's quite funny, but. They got a couple of wins going, and I thought perhaps they'd find their footing, but then they go and lose a couple again. So, you know, they're even worse than Man United, which is saying something. It really is.
Yeah, because both you two were like the banter clubs for like ages, and you've kind of turned a corner. And
we think you just went to lose 5-0 to Aston Villa.
It was weird because I mean Chelsea, like, they have an epic match with City, and we're like, oh wow, these guys are really something. And like, I mean, I've watched Chelsea a few times, and they do look decent enough. It's just for some reason it's just something's still not working though.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, they do have spells in games where they look quite decent, but you know, that for some reason, I just say things don't quite work. I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, they can't sign another striker, you know, surely.
They brought in some people like Nicholas Jackson that I've never really heard of, and he's netted a couple early on, but he's not really done a great deal. They need another striker. I think defense definitely needs sorting out as well.
Yeah, I mean,
they're leaking so many goals.
Yeah, which is concerning because they've spent so much on defense as well. I mean, they bought De Sassi, they bought Badiashile, they bought Gusto.
Playing somebody who's nearly 40.
Yeah, and he's still been their best defender.
Yeah.
But I mean, I do wonder if, I mean, is even though he's still an amazing defender, is he holding them back? I mean, lack of, you know, pace is a big thing for centre backs these days.
Yeah.
In the modern game.
Especially in the Premier League, because it's such a fast-paced league, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pace, you do get found out, which I think has been a problem with Amber. He's technically very good, but he's just got no pace. And I think that's one of the things that really, really struggled with in midfield, especially before Kobbie Mainoo came back from injury. We just, you know, we're having to play loads of Eriksen and Bambarat together, and, you know, you end up with a midfield of absolutely no pace whatsoever. Teams are just cutting through as like a hot knife through butter.
Yeah, you need some, you need to compensate it. Because, I mean, Jorginho isn't the fastest either, but, you know, he has Rice next to him at least.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to have someone in there with legs. You've got to.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
You might get away with it in other leagues, but in the Premier League, you're just going to get done for pace every time.
Yeah. Speaking of a team which does have a lot of pace, though, is Spurs, mate. It's just the way they're playing, mate. I mean, obviously, I have a slight bias against Spurs. What do you think of Spurs so far?
I think they've been all right. I don't think they've been any less Spursy or better than previous seasons, really. I mean, they started off really well, like a house on fire under Ange the first 7 or 8 matches. But it seems to settle down a bit more now. We did have I don't think the injury to Maddison helped. I think he's been a revelation. He's always been good at last, as I say, he's been a revelation. A bit unfair, but he's been really good for them.
I'll agree with that, to be fair. He's an incredible talent. And I think they've actually
been... And Son as well, he's been away at the Asian Games, so that's probably not helping too much either, to be fair, especially as he's the club captain nowadays as well. I'm still surprised he never really plays Kane. I mean, they got all that money for him. I don't know where that went to. Maybe Daniel Levy's bonus or something. But surprised he didn't bring some striker of somebody from. None of them got Richarlison. Seems to be.
He's been good, getting, to be fair.
Yeah, he seems to be getting there now. He's got two goals, really good goals against Everton the weekend, to be fair. But yeah, Everton were outplayed quite a lot in patches of that match. He did really well to salvage a draw in that game, it has to be said.
Yeah, Everton are. They've had a bit of a rocky Christmas period, but I think they've been really good. I mean, it's weird with Spurs, because if I take my Arsenal hat off, like, their attacking play is absolutely brilliant. Like, they are genuinely very good to watch, and they are very good attacking-wise. But I do have some concerns defensively with our midfield.
That's the way we play, mate.
It's just the way they play, mate, yeah. Well, I know you don't particularly believe in some of these stats. Like expected goals.
Not that I don't believe in them. I just think some of them are a bit pointless.
No, I understand that. But this one, I think, is quite revealing. So they are 18th in the league for goals against, for expected goals against, which basically means the amount of chances teams have against you. So that means, that's. You know, they're down there with Sheffield United. Like that's quite concerning to have.
So does that mean, so the down in 18th, does that mean it's quite high then?
Yeah, so basically.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, they have the most goals expected against them.
I wouldn't have suspected that, but the way they play, I suppose it makes sense.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I guess just the way they play, mate. But it's quite, I don't know. When you're so attacking, I guess that's what's going to happen. But I think it is going to hold them back a little bit.
Yeah, possibly.
I'm trying very, very hard to be unbiased at the moment. I don't know if you can tell.
We haven't watched too much of Spurs, really. So, can't say too much. I only watched the match the other day because my mate supports Everton and he wanted to come round to watch it. So, I haven't watched a whole bunch of their matches, but.
Yeah. I have. Oh, man. I'm such a petty human being, but you know what? I love it. Oh. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we ride off into the sunset?
That's exciting.
I guess Jurgen Klopp did decide to leave.
Yeah, he did, and then caught me out. I wasn't expecting that, to be honest. I know some people say, "Oh yeah, it's not surprised," but I don't know, it caught me off guard. But to me, it was good news because. It's been too good at Liverpool, so having his departure means they go shit for a bit.
that'd be bloody nice. I mean, it'd be really funny if it is a De Zerbi.
I think a lot of people think they get beat along, so don't they? He's doing really well at Leverkusen, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think it might be Alonso.
I think his epic failure at Villa rules Gerrard out, I think.
Oh, 100%. Failed.
Super Frank.
Oh, man, can you imagine? I mean, the thing is, Gerrard's doing such a good job at Al Attifak, in Saudi Arabia. I think they're 18th in the table there.
I think at some point, you just got to admit you just haven't quite got the chops for this managerial malarkey.
Yeah, I mean, at least Gary Neville realised it, and he
yeah,
into punditry, which you can mock him for, but at least he was self-aware enough.
There's no disgrace in knowing your own limitations, to be honest.
Yeah, like you tried it, and if it's not for you, then it's not for you. I mean, he had a good, he won the title at Rangers. He did very good with them, to be fair.
Like going. into that. I mean, CM Punk brought, I know you always have to go to wrestling, but both wrestling is fine, but you have to live with it, listen, as, but CM Punk brought up in his promo, in his last promo when he got sidelined after the Royal Rumble, he tried USC and he got beat. Boy, did I get beat, but at least I tried it.
Oh, CM Punk getting injured. Who would have seen that coming? God. Oh, you know what? I have a very controversial opinion about who should be Liverpool manager, by the way.
Go on, man.
Not Xavi Alonso. I think it should be Ange Postecoglou.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
No. Well, the thing is, apparently he was Liverpool supporter growing up. So, I don't know. I mean, and, you know, Liverpool have a very direct style of play, you know, which is very different to what Xavi Alonso do with all his tiki-taki nonsense. So, I don't know. Maybe Ange makes the answer.
Don't see him making the switch from Spurs to Liverpool. But I could see Alonso going there. Other than that, I'm really not too sure, to be fair.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine someone. I think it's so weird, you know, when such a big manager leaves. I mean, do you think they should almost have like a buffer manager, almost like an Unai Emery type, just kind of, you know, help the transition over?
Maybe you do, because I hope you sort of saw with Unai and Moyes at United that to follow people like Wenger and Fergie is almost an impossible task.
Mm. Yeah, so I mean, I think if Arteta went straight in there, I mean, it was quite rough for him at the start anyway, but I think it was easy on him because Unai was also struggled quite a bit as well. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, whoever comes in for Liverpool, they have a much better team.
Well, Arteta did have quite the mess to clean up, and he had players like Ozil that he had to sort out. He wasn't really performing and whatnot. So, you know, it was quite a bit of disharmony in the dressing room by the time of it.
Oh yeah,
wasn't keen on certain players. So, you know, he did have a lot to sort of, expect to sort out. I mean, you know, Emery's shown other teams. He's a good manager, but some reason it wasn't a fit at Arsenal. It just didn't work out. There seemed to be a lot of problems there. Whether, by the sounds of it, he was too busy shagging. So
yeah, fair play, to be honest. Yeah, I think because Arsenal was such a mess, they needed a manager with personality and a connection to the club. And even though Arteta loves that club, and you can tell he absolutely loves being there, so I think that's definitely helped him kind of settle in. I don't know. I mean, you know, Klopp has been such a big personality as well, which is another reason why I think Ange would be a good fit, because he is that kind of cult personality figure. You know, people won't shut the fuck up about him. But yeah, I mean, I think the Liverpool team that Klopp's leaving is a lot better than what Fergie and what Wenger left. So.
Well, at the moment, it depends who's left when players decide they're going to go to Saudi Arabia or leave because Klopp's leaving. So.
That's true. I don't know.
You might just be left with Gravenbach and Harvey Elliott and who knows.
Chelsea's finest, Harvey Elliott. My God. If you're Liverpool and Saudi come in with a 200 million bid for Salah, do you take it, or do you just keep him for the next 2 years to kind of help the transition?
That's a lot of money to send. I think it is age. I think you take it.
I think I'm just about
to say. You have to be prepared to accept that you might have to have a couple of transitional seasons to be competing again, though. Teams aren't prepared to do that anymore, because I only think if PSG can win with an offer for Rashford, they should take it.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that happening, especially with Mbappe going, to be fair. I think it's not a bad shout. But yeah, I guess we shall see. Carl, do you have a Patrick, by the way?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Ooh.
My Patrick is our old friend Jesse Lingard, and it's everything. You know, I'm not playing for months and then thinking he can offer himself to Barcelona. having to sort of downgrade from Barcelona to a K-League team in Korea. And as Nathan pointed out, going there with luggage with his sort of face emblazoned and all the suitcases. he's just a laugh a minute, isn't he? He really is.
It's so him. It's very, very him.
So glad we got rid of him. Here we are.
Oh, but you know what? As long as he's happy, I guess, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's a tough life being a footballer sometimes. And I guess he's been out of football for a long time, hasn't he?
Not that long. He was with West Ham for a bit, and he decided to, because he knocked back a few offers. I think, honestly, he does think he's like Barcelona level, but in the end, he's had to accept that he's that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's true. Well, as long as he's happy, I guess. I'm going to choose a bit more of an unusual pick. I'm going to go for a Twitter account called KimoFC, which does they do match compilations on Twitter, and specifically Arsenal ones. And they did a very, very cool Master of Puppets highlight package of the Liverpool and Arsenal game. And I thought that was absolutely great. So I love these kind of montage things. I don't know why. It's like a weird autism thing I have. But I was like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah. Go on, why not?
That does sound pretty good, actually, to be fair.
Yeah, I can send it to you if you want. I mean, I know you're... I don't know. See what you think.
Yeah, why not?
But yeah, I'm going to go for them. But I think the winner has to be... I think winner has to be Jay Links. Oh, God. God love him. But Carl, do you have anything you want to plug?
Yeah, you can tune in to Padding Ain't Easy. We've done a couple of new pads the last few weeks where we, first episode of the year, we spoke about the new series of What If. We've also done a pad on the Echo series. Find on us, and hopefully myself and Liam will be back in the recording booth with Reese to do a Doctor Who special rank bang.
Yes.
It's not go. Now I've said it live on air, that probably won't happen now.
Reese
will remember it's date night or something.
Yeah. Well, Hopefully that happens. I've never been on that show before, so I'm quite excited for it, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I suppose
with all the, you know, because such a sci-fi geek that Scott is, he's never watched Doctor Who, which I'm quite disappointed with. I have to admit.
Particularly as you know, one of the most famous iterations of the Scotsman. Shameful, man. you know what, I won't say much about him because I think I've probably said too much about him and his family already, to be fair. Oh, that's fine, he's not listening to us anyway. But Carl, what's your Twitter account, by the way?
Carlos _Maya80. That's the same for Instagram as well, to keep it simple.
I was gonna plug Scott's Twitter, but I can't find it, so instead I'm gonna plug Alex Scott's Twitter, which is @AlexScott, because why not?
And that indeed. Why not?
What a lovely woman. All right, everyone, I hope you all sleep well. I hope you kiss your loved ones. look after all your dogs, and yeah, I hope you have a lovely evening.